this morning. Again, we thank you for the health and the strength to be here. Lord, I pray that you'll speak through me the words that you'd have us to hear. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to draw closer to you. I pray, Lord, that you'll hide me behind the cross of Christ. I pray that your name will be honored and glorified in everything that happens today. Again, draw us closer to you. Fill me with your spirit. Simply means control me completely with your spirit. Lord, if you want me to say it, that I will. And if you don't, that I won't. And Lord, even in the way that it comes forth, I pray that it comes forth in the power of the Holy Spirit today to draw us closer to you and encourage our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I can think of three memorable types of countdowns that I can remember in my life. You know, like where you count down like 10, 9, 8. The first one, my dad and mom and I used to go to a lot of the Anstead High School football games. When I was a kid, they were the Anstead Highlanders, which makes sense because they're right at the top of Golly Mountain down there. And they had a really good football team. They finished four regular seasons as number one in the state. And they won the 1971 and the 1972 championships. And if you've ever heard of Tom Pridemore that played for WVU and then eventually for the Atlanta Falcons, he come from Anstead. That's our claim to fame down there in that area. But they had three. They had three state records for winning streaks. Now, I know some of those, I believe, have been bested or bettered, you know, that they no longer hold that record. But I remember as a kid looking at the scoreboard, and usually this was good news, you know, looking at the scoreboard, and as the last few seconds ticked off the clock, the fans would go, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, yeah, you know, victory. The second memory I have of a countdown is at least some of the Apollo missions that were shown on television. How many of y'all remember those? As the spaceships were ready to take off, the rockets were ready to take off from the Kennedy Space Center, someone would start a countdown. You know, it was probably Control Center in Houston. They seemed to do all the important stuff almost. But before takeoff, they would start the same thing. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we have blastoff or takeoff. The third thing I remember is through the years as we watch the ball drop in New York City. Now, I know there's a lot of goofiness going on there, but we're just kind of focused. You know, we've seen the ball for years, and as it gets close to a new year, what do you typically do? They start counting down, right? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then Happy New Year, and you cheer, and you blow your little horn, or you throw confetti or something. But you know what? There's a much more important countdown that could start at any time. There's a much, much, much more important countdown that could start at any time. It's the countdown for the Lord's return at what we call the rapture of the church. You see, the Lord is going to come back in the clouds with the soul and the spirit of those that have gone on before. And the Bible says there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. And then it talks about the dead are going to be raised. So the graves are going to burst open, and the soul and spirit of those that have gone on before that are in the clouds now with Jesus, their brand new body is going to come and meet their soul and spirit. And then we which are alive and remain, which I'm still voting for the rapture, I think it could happen at any moment. The countdown could be started at any moment. Then we are going to be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds, and we're going to get a brand new body as we go up. This morning, we're going to start a new series. We finished on the Lord's Prayer. But this is a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening series, good Lord willing, unless he changes that. But listen to the title of the series, all right? Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. A lot of people say, well, preacher, I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know, but end times, I want, well, this is it, all right? This series is going to scratch that itch a little bit. I feel God wants us to emphasize that he is coming back. It seems to me that in one time in the history of the Christian church, like, you know, even less than 100 years ago, it would seem to me as I've read that preachers used to emphasize a lot that the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. And we don't emphasize that as much today, but we need to be just as aware of that because, believe me, we're closer to the rapture of the church or the Lord's return than those folks were, right? So we need to be reminded. The title of the series today, part one this morning, the overall series, The Lord is Coming Back Soon to Get His Children in the Rapture. You see, those that are saved will be caught up to be with the Lord in the clouds. And it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it talks about that ought to encourage and comfort our hearts. Now, those that are left behind will be thrust into the tribulation period, a place where God's wrath is poured upon the earth. I don't want to go through that, and thank the Lord, I will not have to go through that. And I think we'll probably talk about that at some point in this series. This morning's specific title of the message, The Lord is Coming Back Soon to Get His Children in the Rapture, the specific title. So, what should we be doing? So, what should we be doing? Mark chapter 13 is our text today. We're only looking at 6 verses. Can you believe that? And I believe I only have one reference that's not in this passage that's going to show up on the monitor there. That's pretty amazing, really. I can tell you're really amazed by that. You're really bowled over. 7 verses today. The Lord is coming back soon to get his children in the rapture. So, what are we supposed to be doing? Now, I want to remind you in Mark chapter 13, parallel passage, Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Those are parallel passages. You know, it's basically speaking of the end times, of the end times. And in particular, for the most part, it's talking about the tribulation period and things that are going to be a sign for the Lord's second coming, when he comes to the earth. Now, that's not the rapture of the church. But it's saying all this is going to happen. You see, for the rapture of the church, there are no signs that have to happen. There's nothing that has to be fulfilled in Scripture for it to happen. We would say, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment, we'd say that it is imminent. It could happen at any moment. I say quite often, is that the trumpet I hear? No, it's probably the AC unit going out or the heater going out. But you know, it can happen. I mean, really, we need to wake up with the realization every day as children of God, those that have trusted Jesus as their Savior, and say, you know what? This could be the day. And we need to live our lives as such. Like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do knowing that you could come back at any moment? You see, so many of us, we just got all of our plans, right? We got plans. We got plans Monday. We got something coming up Tuesday. And we got, you know, a lot of people aren't here today. Why? Because they had other plans, right? And we got plans and more plans and more plans. Can I tell you, those plans are going to be interrupted. And I imagine those plans are going to be so minuscule compared to being with Jesus that we'd have wished we'd let that little schedule thing go and been more serious about the Lord. So if the Lord is coming back, in this passage, again, it talks about, you see, there are signs for the second coming of the Lord. At the end of the tribulation period that we're going to miss, 7 years, you see, there's going to be the battle of Armageddon, right? And then the Lord's going to come back and take care of the battle of Armageddon. That's the second return of Christ. Now, a lot of commentaries, they don't make it real clear, but that's the second coming of the Lord. There are signs for that because there's signs of the tribulation. And if you look at the signs listed in these, in Mark 13 and Matthew 24 and Luke 21, if you look at what it says, you say, wow, that kind of sounds like today. That's 7 years after we're already gone. So if there's signs for that, you can say, whoa, the rapture could happen before church is over. Especially as long as you preach, preacher. It could happen at any point. It could happen at any moment. And I'm thankful for that. And as you look at this, you say, well, why are we looking at the rapture? Well, he gives them, he says, these are the signs. This is what's going to happen for the tribulation to kick into place and for Antichrist to be on the scene and for the Lord's return. And then it seems like in these verses that we're going to look at, he's kind of like turns to his disciples and says, okay, so what kind of people should you be in the meantime? How should you approach all of these end time events? Because the rapture, if you will, is like the trigger event that gets all these end time events going. So he's like, okay, so what kind of people should we be? How should we be living today? Does that make sense? All right, now we're going to read it. We're going to read it. It is Mark chapter 13. We're going to begin at verse 32. Mark 13, verse 32. Listen, words of Jesus. It says, but of that day, that would be the day of the Lord, all the end time events, and that hour knoweth no man. We don't know when all this is going to go down, okay? And if we don't know when all these events that are mentioned in this chapter are going to go down, we don't know when the rapture is going to come, okay? It says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Have we had people sometimes say, okay, the Lord's coming back on October 1st. I remember this one little booklet. Seemed like we must have been in Chattanooga at the time, perhaps. That doesn't quite add up. We must have just been in Chattanooga. But I remember this little booklet that everybody got, 88 Reasons Why the Lord is Coming Back in 1988. Y'all remember that? Well, that didn't work. Oh, it'd been fine with me if it did. I'm ready. Come on back, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But it didn't happen. But it says, no man knows. So if someone says, hey, I know, you're going right against Scripture. No man knows. You got some of these televangelists and these people, they think they know more than everybody else. They don't. When it comes to saying a date, the Lord's coming by, I know it's soon. And I can stand up here and say it could happen today because that's true. But I cannot say exactly when. It says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven. So the angels don't even know when he's coming back. Now listen, neither the Son, but the Father. Now that requires just a little bit of pondering, okay? Now, you say, I've heard this, you know, my whole life. Well, Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. You got to understand, Jesus is in his earthly ministry, right? Everybody with me on that? And he's preaching and teaching, right? Now, he is 100% God, 100% man. 100% God and 100% man. But in a certain way, Jesus chooses to limit the way that he exercises his godship, if you will, or his deity. Y'all agree with that? So at this point, what I think is what he's saying as he's teaching his disciples, I've limited myself. I'm in human form. I'm still God, 100%, and I can do anything, but I've chose to limit, you know, my omniscience or my all-knowingness. So at this point, I don't even know when I'm coming back because I'm in human form. You say, well, I don't agree with that. That's fine. I don't. But that's my take on it. That's why I believe what he's saying, because how can you say that Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back? Because Jesus is God and knows everything. So I would say at this point, he definitely knows when he's coming back because he's fully God. He is not choosing in his human form to limit his omniscience. He has omniscience. He knows everything. That makes sense. Just give me a little nod. Even if you don't agree, if you get it, just go, mm-hmm. Okay, I believe that's what it's saying. All right, now, second verse. It says, verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter or the doorkeeper to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, in the evening, or at midnight, Or at the cock crowing, that would be breaking of day. Or in the morning, somewhere in the morning hours. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Series, the Lord is coming back soon to get his children in the rapture. Specifically today, we're looking at, so what should we be doing? Well, it's answered in these verses. First of all, verse 32, we do not know when the rapture will be. Now, I've kind of hit that already. It says no man knows it. It says the angels don't know it. And even Jesus right now, as he limits his deity, if you will, or his omniscience, he doesn't even know at this point as he's talking to his disciples, since he has chosen to limit his all-knowingness, if you will. He doesn't even know. But it says we do not know when the rapture will be. We do not know. Do you know that the rapture could happen at any time? As again, I said, it's imminent. Nothing in the Bible has to happen first. Again, there are signs of the second coming of Jesus at the end of the tribulation, at the Battle of Armageddon, but there are no signs that have to be fulfilled for the Lord to come back. Now, a lot of people, I really think, are in a state of denial. They're like, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, they may believe it'll happen at some point, but it's hard to get people woke up a little bit to say, you know what? It could happen in your lifetime. Some people say, well, I'm not a young pup anymore. I'm a little bit older, and I've been hearing preachers say that all my life. The Lord's coming back. Well, that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to say the Lord's coming back. So what kind of people are we supposed to be? And even if he does not come in my lifetime or your lifetime, he's still coming soon. We're going to look at that too. And we're closer now than we were when you were a kid. And as I say quite often as I preach this topic, you know, we're, what did we start, about 10:30 or so? It's 11:30. We're an hour and 5, 6, 7 minutes closer to him coming back than we were when we started the service. So we need to be ready. Point number one, we do not know when the rapture will be. But it's the next event on God's schedule. Again, to kick off the end time event, specifically the 7-year tribulation period. As I said, for a race to start, have you ever known someone with a blank in their gun? And I remember old Barney Fife. You know, he had the gun at the community picnic when Opie thinks he's going to be a superstar and he's going to win this race. And actually, I think in the show he finishes last. But Barney is the one whose job is to shoot the gun to start them off, right? Basically, the rapture that could happen at any time is the firing of the gun, if you will, to start off all the events of the end times. Now, right now, we know that God is gracious and long-suffering, and he wants everyone to be saved. But let me tell you, the Lord is coming back, and it could be at any moment. Point number one, one more time, we do not know when the rapture will be. Second, point number two, therefore, because we don't know when he is coming back, we should take heed. Look at verse 33. Take ye heed. What's that mean? You know what that means? That means, hey, listen up. Pay attention. And you know, if I'm listening up, taking heed, that means it's not going to go in one ear and out the other. That means we're going to hear it and we're going to respond. He's saying, basically, Christian, take heed, wake up, listen up, and it should result in action. So many things are left in the Christian life. Well, I have good intentions. Well, sometimes we need to rise up and go beyond intentions and actually get into action. You say, what are we supposed to do, preacher? Lord could come back at any time. We should take heed. As I've said before, to get our boys' attention when they were growing up, when they were younger, you know how I got their attention? I didn't yell. I started to whisper. I was like, Ryan and Jason, I'm whispering. Do you know what that means? That that means I'm really upset, and you're, you know, we got to talk about this. And they go, whoa, really? And they listen to me. Let me tell you, if you need a good way to get their attention, start whispering. But you know what? In this scripture, the Lord is trying to get our attention. He says, I could come back at any time. So guess what? Take heed. Listen up. Get ready. Start taking action. The A word is action. What else are we supposed to be doing? Thirdly, we're looking at the Lord is coming back soon to get his children in the rapture. So what should we be doing? Point number one, we do not know when the rapture will be. It could be any time. Number two, therefore we should take heed. Number three, therefore we should watch. Watch. I was amazed. Six verses, four times that word watch is used. Verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Notice in verse 34, it says, and commanded the porter to watch, or the doorkeeper to watch. Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Verse 37, kind of like a concluding statement to this passage. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch. If taking heed means listening up, paying attention, leading to action, you know, this idea of watching, it means look alive, be alert. As I say quite often, the world needs more alerts, so be alert. Think about that a little bit, okay, just a little bit. We need to be on guard. We need to be on guard. You see, if the Lord's coming back, we need to be on guard. You know, the devil wants us to fail, right? The devil wants us to get off course. But if there's ever a time that we as Christians need to be on course, it's today. If there's ever a time that we as a church needs to stay on course, it's today. So we need to watch. And as I thought about this, I was thinking, what in my life could demonstrate watching? It's probably when I'm deer hunting. Now, I know some of you macho deer hunters. I know what you do. You go out in the woods and you fall asleep. And I know it's very easy to do. I'm not sure I've ever done it, but I know it's very easy to do. But the real job of a deer hunter when they're out there in the tree stand or next to the tree is to watch. We're relying on our senses, right? In particular, our sight. I like to hunt when it's dry because you can hear them long before you can see them. But you gotta watch. You gotta be alert. And it's amazing to me that we as Christians sometimes, we watch in a lot of areas. We're alert in so many, we're alert with our family and with our job and all, and that's great. But when it comes to our walk with God, we're not paying attention. We're not into it. We're not really actively involved as we should be. You see, the Lord is coming back and we don't know when, number one. Number two, therefore we should take heed or take action. Number three, guess what? We ought to also watch. We got to be alert, alive, awake. The A word is alert. So we got active. We got to be active. We got to be alert. Next point. It says, therefore, we should pray. Look at what it says. It says, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, he says, not only take ye heed, he says, watch, but then he says, pray. Pray. We should pray. Again, tie in with what it's saying, for you know not when the time is. You know, if there's ever a time that we should pray as Christians, it's today. Now, we all know how and recognize how evil the world is, don't we? Do we really realize that if people do not trust Jesus as Savior, there's only one destination when they leave this world? And do we realize that when the church goes home and the Antichrist is revealed and the tribulation period kicks into play, it's a wrath of God like no one has ever seen. Do we really think about that? That our loved ones who don't know Jesus are going to be thrust into that if the rapture happens in the next moment? You say, well, what should we be praying about? We should be serious about prayer and praying that lost people come to Jesus. We should be serious in prayer and say, God, what do you want me to do? Lord, this could be my last day because you could be coming back. And beyond that, kind of a different little subject, our life might end and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord too. So do you think we ought to take prayer just a wee little bit more seriously than we do? I don't know about you, but I believe that if I was God, I would be offended at many of the Christians and the way they pray. It would seem to me that a lot of Christians only come to God in prayer when they're in trouble. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We should go to Him when we're in trouble. And if that's the only time you go to Him, keep on doing that. But can I say to you that we need to get serious about prayer in our lives? Can I tell you that we need to get serious about taking time and lifting things up to God and say, God, we're praying for the lost? I mean, I don't want anybody to go through the tribulation. I don't want anybody to go to hell. So if there's ever a time that we need to be praying, it's today. I mean, just look at the world and the world situation. Now, I know that a lot of Christians are politically, you're kind of like, okay, I'm good. And we have more conservatism in Washington right now and in our state. That's a good thing. I'm biblically conservative. I'm politically conservative. If that bothers you, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I'm politically conservative because I'm biblically conservative. So we might be saying, hey, okay, all right, I'm okay. Everything's looking pretty good in Washington. At least we got someone who at least respects our freedoms and standing up for us and all that. But you know what? That's not good enough, though. You see, the only answer to our sin problem is salvation. And we got all kind of people around us that need Jesus. So we need to pray. We need to pray for guidance and direction in these last days. We need to pray for power to reach the lost. You know, in this idea of asking him in prayer, Lord, guide me and direct me. It's almost like last minute instructions. We need to go before God on our knees and say, God, we need some instruction here. We need some help. Have anybody been watching March Madness and all the tournament? I'm sure there's at least one or two, right? Some have, and maybe you saw it on television. You know, it's important when these teams get down to the last few seconds in a close game that they have a timeout. Because, you know, a few seconds, maybe they're up by a point or down by a point, or just, and the coach will go, timeout, timeout! You know, full timeout or a short timeout. You know, I want a full time. And the team gathers around, and the coach does what? Gives them last-minute instructions. Last-minute instructions. You know what? When we go to God in prayer, we need to ask for some last-minute instructions. Say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want my family to do? What do you want my church to do? What can we do? Because you're coming back, and you're coming back soon. I'm going to come down there and jump over a few pews. Today we're talking about the Lord is coming back soon to get His children in the rapture. So what should we be doing? We do not know when the rapture will be, number one. Secondly, since we don't know, therefore we should take heed. Results in action. Third point, therefore we should watch. In other words, we should be alert in our Christian life. Fourthly, today we just covered, therefore we should pray, or we should ask God for last minute instructions. Number five, therefore we should work. Notice what it says in verse 34. It likens the Lord's return to someone who takes a far country. It says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Now, if that's Jesus, who are his servants? We are, right? And to every man, notice what it says, his work. and commanded the porter to watch. You know one thing we as Christians ought to be doing? We ought to be working. Working. Can I say this? If we gave to God probably a half of the effort we give to our employers, that is, man, it would be something. We'd be reaching the lost. We would not have any more open positions in church. You see, we need to be working. You see, it says that this steward, this person who owned the house when he left, says, guess what? Here is your work. And God has a work specifically for you. He even says in that verse, notice what it says. It says in that verse, and to every man his work. His work. You see, the Lord's coming back. It could be at any moment in the rapture. We need to be busy. We're working at all the wrong things as Christians. Y'all agree with me on that? But we need to be working. His work, the work that God has given me to do as never before, I need to be at it. The work that God has given you to do like never before, you need to be at it. You know, I don't believe that God lets us retire from our Christian service, do you? You say, well, I retired from my job. Well, praise the Lord, I'm glad you could do that. But I don't see in the Bible any reference to retiring from our service and work that God has given to us to do. And as we see the day of the Lord approaching, as we see that the rapture could happen in the next minute, we need to be busy working. You say, well, I got getting my ducks in a row. What in the world are you waiting on? Get your ducks in a row and get to serving God. Get plugged into a local church, join the church, and say, preacher, where do you want me to serve? And I'll talk to God about it. If he wants me there, by golly, I'm going to do it. You see, we got to be working for the Lord. It's not time to slow up or to let up or to shut up. It's time for us to say, I'm going to work for Jesus. He's coming back. Y'all believe he's coming back? We need to make sure that we are working for the Lord. The A word is assignment. We need to accept our assignment. You know, there's a song, I'm not sure if you know it or not, but it says, we'll work till Jesus comes. It goes like this, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes. And we'll be gathered home. You know, we can sing some really nice songs in church. But are you working for the Lord? Man, I'm telling you, he could come back like that. And can I tell you the next thing on the schedule for Christians is the judgment seat of Christ. We'll give an account of our service. What better time to work is there than right now? Right now. Yeah, it didn't say we'll rest till Jesus comes. It doesn't say we'll snooze till Jesus comes. It doesn't say we'll coast till Jesus comes. It says we'll work. We do not know when the rapture will be, number one. Number two, therefore we should take heed or take action. Third, therefore, we should watch, look alive, be on guard, be alert. Fourth, we should pray, ask God for last-minute instructions. Number five, we should work, take our assignment seriously. Number six, Jesus will come suddenly. I'm almost finished. Jesus will come suddenly. Notice verse 36, less coming suddenly, suddenly. You know, the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, it says, describing the rapture, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Say, preacher, how quick is a twinkling of an eye? I'm not sure. It's fast. I was thinking about the speed of light. I don't know why. You know, sometimes you remember things from school. 186,000 miles per second, speed of light. I believe a twinkling of an eye is even faster than that. But the Lord's going to come back suddenly. We're not going to have time to go get our things or to get right or to fall on our knees and say, God, I'm sorry, I should have served you better. No time for that. We are in the clouds with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. You see, he's going to come suddenly. Last point, number 7. Sleeping on Jesus is unacceptable. Sleeping on Jesus is unacceptable. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about sleeping in church. That's not a good thing, but I understand that sometimes, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sleeping in our walk with God is unacceptable. Notice what it says in verse 36. As coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Can I make a very profound but truthful statement? It's sad to say, but some Christians are sleeping on Jesus. They're sleeping on Jesus. I want you to think about that for a moment. Sleeping on the job. When you used to work or as you currently work, what was one of the worst things that could happen at your job? To fall asleep and the boss show up, right? I mean, you'd be horrified, right? I mean, most of us would be horrified. As best I know, I never fell asleep on the job. Best I know. How would I know I was asleep? But I don't think I did. But, you know, you fall asleep at your desk or at something you're supposed to be doing. You sit down to take a little break and you're asleep. And then the boss shows up. You'd be horrified, wouldn't you? Like, I we'd start saying, well, I had a rough night. I didn't get much sleep. I'm really tired. I'm sorry, 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 sorry. But you know what a lot of Christians are doing? They're sleeping on Jesus. And you know, if the Lord could come back at any moment, wouldn't it be something? I'm not talking about physically sleeping. I'm talking about spiritually sleeping. You're like, well, maybe sometime. Yeah, I should do that. Yeah, maybe I will. Yeah. We need to start taking God seriously. He could come back at any moment. And he says he's going to find some people, some Christians, sleeping in their walk with God. Let me tell you, every single person in this church ought to be serving in this church. You hear me? I mean, everybody ought to be plugged in. Everybody ought to be faithful to all of our services. Everybody ought to be reading their Bible. Everybody ought to be praying. Everybody ought to be tithing. Everybody ought to be telling people about Jesus. If we fall short in any of those, guess what? We're sleeping. We're sleeping on Jesus. Now again, just think, if you don't get that concept, just think about whoever your boss either was or is. Man, I wouldn't want to fall asleep. No. Ooh, that'd be terrible. Oh. But the God, as the choir sang, the God of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords is coming back. Are you sleeping? Now, if we knew when he was coming back, we could kind of say, okay, well, I'm sleeping a little bit now, but I know he's coming back next year, so I'm going. But we don't know when he's coming. He could come back before the clock strikes noon. Let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you today. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, we're going to sing in a moment. I want you to step out of your seat, come down the aisle, and I'll be somewhere around the front. I want you to come up to me and say, preacher, I want to be saved. You see, I don't want you to be thrown into the tribulation period. I don't want you to go through that. You say, preacher, do you think people can be saved in the tribulation period? Some people, some preachers, very conservative preachers say, if you have heard the gospel before the tribulation period, you cannot be saved in the tribulation period because you've already rejected Jesus. Some would say that. I believe you can be saved in the tribulation period, even if you've heard a clear presentation of the gospel before. But you know what it's going to cost you? Your life. You will be killed because you'll not take the mark of the beast on your forehead or on your hand, and you will be killed, martyred. I don't know about you. I'd rather be saved in this age of grace, this church age, where you can come down the aisle and meet it from your heart and be saved and not be killed because of it. Why not be saved today? But you know what? A big part of the message is to Christians. Christians. I want everybody look at me. Everybody look at me eye to eye here, okay? If you know Jesus as your Savior, are you hard at it for Jesus? Are you doing your best for Jesus? If you want to summarize all the points that we've talked about you know, taking heed and watching and praying and working and all that, if you want to summarize it, are you doing your best for Jesus? Or are you sleeping on Jesus right now? Are you sleeping on Jesus? I'd encourage you, Christian. The Lord's coming back. And the Lord's coming back soon. I want you to hear from Him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You can't be sleeping on Jesus and expect to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you say, "Preacher, well, maybe next week I'll stop sleeping. I'll be more faithful to church. Maybe I'll read my Bible. Next week, next month, I'll have more time. Maybe in the summer. I have more time in the summer." Yeah, that's it. I'm telling you, you need to make that decision right now. You need to draw your line in the sand and say, "You know what? I'm going to quit sleeping on Jesus. I'm going to get serious about this serving Jesus thing." I'm going to challenge you, if God is speaking to your heart, maybe you've just nodded off for a little bit, but you've just nodded off for a little bit in your service to God, I'm going to encourage you to come up here to the altar. You may say, "Preacher, I'm serving the Lord, but I'm sure I could do better." I figure most of us fit into that category, don't we? Why not come to the altar and say, "Lord, help me to stay awake. Help me to stay alert. Help me to do my best. Because you're coming back at any time. And I want to do my best for my Savior that loves me." If you would bow your head and close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage in Scripture that talks about, Lord, the end times. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone who's lost today, that they'll come forward and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." Worked on them with your Holy Spirit. Convict them. May they come forward and be saved today. But Lord, for those that are Christians here today, and Lord, there's some Christians, I'm sure, with the number of folks we have today, there's some Christians who are sleeping on Jesus. Or at least they're not doing their best. They're just kind of giving God the leftovers, a little bit here, a little bit there. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts, chasten their hearts. And Lord, I pray that they'll come to the altar today, Lord, and say, "Lord, I want to give you my best. I want to give you my all. I don't want to sleep on you. You could come back at any moment, and I want to be ready." Lord, speak to hearts and give them the boldness to step out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.